Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here. Once again, my name is Bethany. And first, I want to show you a little video. If you have that ready to go, we will watch that first. And then I'll share a little bit with you and then pass it over. We have it's ready. Does it have sound and all the... Yeah, if not, I narrate. Okay, yes, okay. This is Casa Angelina. Okay, this is a family of four who live in that Living Waters house, particularly your house. Mercedes on the side in the yellow, Sarita on the right side, Tito in the back, and Lila in the front. They came to us about 2.5 years ago from the slums in the middle of the city of Guatemala. And this is the picture on the first day. If you can see his feet, totally black. They had never been bathed in their life to this age. They had never brushed their teeth. They had never lived in a home. They lived in kind of tin on tin on tin, that kind of thing, and underwent some of the worst abuse I've ever heard of in my life, actually. This is the youngest, Lila. This is after a couple of weeks of being with us. When she came, she was over a year old, and this is months later. She looked about 8 weeks old when we got her and was at the point of death. Literally, when our director of the orphanage, when he held her, she was lifeless and limp in his arms. She couldn't move her neck. She had no mobility because the oldest sibling, Mercedes, had only been able to raise her on coffee and Coke because that's what she could find in the trash. So if you can imagine a year of your most important year of life, one of them growing up in coffee and Coke, it's an amazing testimony. They took her here to our clinic right when they got this family of four. And our pediatrician said, I know what to do. I can help her. And she wrote out a list because the judge said she'll be dead in 7 days. And this is her now after 2.5 years. Look at her. Miracle child. Isn't that beautiful? And this is her playing outside of the Living Waters house, jumping around. She's got a million little friends. She's a ball of joy in life. She is a complete, that's her on the right, a complete testimony. And she will never remember what happened to her. And God has literally wiped it clean and said, here's your family and here's your future and here's all your friends. This is your life. And given her a total future. And she's an amazing testimony. Their family underwent some incredible, incredible abuse. Okay, hold on. We're moving. This is Anageli. She came to us about 3.5 weeks ago. She's a new little girl. She's 5 years old. And when she came to us, they brought her in the gates and they brought her right to our house so we could meet her right away because we love to meet them right when they come in. And she said, I just came from the streets, and the judge told us, because she wouldn't tell us, obviously, but the judge told us her mother had tried to poison her, and the mixture that she made up to kill her didn't work, and just sent her to the hospital instead. And so they realized what had happened, and they immediately took her out of the custody of her mother. So she had undergone a lot of abuse, not sleeping in a bed ever in her life, not having food ever on a regular basis. And so when they took her and brought her to us, the first thing she asked me, is it paused or am I? Oh, no, you can keep going because I'll keep running to the next. Yes. I was like, I didn't remember it being that long on the scene of the street. That's awesome. Okay. That's the first day she came right there, actually. She literally walked in the gates and it was like fear and trepidation about this whole new place. I mean, you can imagine you're five. If you have a five-year-old or know a five-year-old and they're taken away from everything they know, even if it's horrible, and put in a place they've never seen before, it's a bit terrifying at first. And this is her home. And she came in and she said, they told me that I'm going to have food. And I said, I promise you'll have food every day, every day. And she said, they told me I'm going to have my own bed. And she was looking at me and she just squeezed my hands. I've just known her about a minute. And she said, they told me I'll have my own bed. And I said, you'll have your own bed. You're going to have a house. And she started squeezing my hands. And she said, what's that huge building at the end of the street? It's like a street in the middle of the orphanage. And I said, that's your school. My school? I said, yes, that's your school. I get to go to school there. Yes, we built that for you. Everything we built for you. And she started jumping and squeezing my hands and hugging me. And I'm telling you, she's been there about 3 weeks and she's like a new child. There is no fear. There is no timidity anymore. She has been totally changed. This is her giving you a tour, basically, of her house. these are all my books. This is my fish tank without any fish. This is my, you know, look, she's showing you the lotion there. She's like, we said, we're going to tell people about you. And she said, I want to show them everything. That's her Christmas tree. And there she's skipping around. So she was very, very happy, to say the least, when she came. And that's her talking. She talks nonstop. And these are just people, all of different staff. This is our kitchen staff. I mean, the orphanage runs. This is graduation we had just a couple weeks ago. And just another picture of Casa Angelina. It's a miracle place. And you guys and your church have been a huge blessing to us. And the house that you built there, it's miracles after miracles after miracles that are happening in that house. And so many people being rescued. And I just want to say thank you to your church from all of Casa Angelina, from each of the kids who I couldn't bring with me, but all begged to come. Especially when I said I was coming to your church, because, of course, they've met Pastor Robert many times, and some of you that have come. Raise your hand if you've ever been to Casa Angelina. Yes. Okay. That's not enough. That's not enough people. We need a lot more people coming down and seeing it and coming, because when you get a hug from little Lila, you're not the same person afterwards. You're not the same person. And when you get a hug from Ingrid's family in your house, family of five children, and their parents would tie ropes around their neck and drag them around, abusing them for punishment, trying to choke them, strangle them. When you get a hug from them, you remember just a little bit about how much Jesus loves you and his power to save you. And it transforms, it's transformed my life. I mean, we've lived there 13 months now and many more months to go. We'll live there at least 3 years probably. And it's just not only for me getting to minister to them, but them ministering to me. Watch, because they just believe what God tells them. And then it happens. It's like, oh, they're like, I believe this can happen and this is going to work out. And then it happens and it works out. And they're just like, oh, see? And they don't have any other idea that it wouldn't happen, because we tell them, you believe what God tells you and it's going to happen. And they say, yes, and then it happens. And now, just like my dad said, they're going out. They're giving Christmas to three orphanages this year, one full of handicapped children, another one that's just really poor where these kids don't have hardly anything to eat, and another one that's close to with a mixture of both handicapped children as well as children just really impoverished. And our kids are the ones making the cards and going as a team and singing the songs and giving out. And they came back from the last one 2 days before I came. We went and did one at an orphanage, and they came back just crying. I'm a different person. I'm a different person. I'm a different person. I mean, when they enter back into Casa Angelina, if you haven't been there, it's beautiful. Is it not? I mean, it's beautiful. You come in out of poverty and depression in the streets, and you walk in, and it is completely like you've just entered into a paradise. I mean, it's peaceful. It's beautiful. It's up on a mountain. It's 7,000 feet, roughly. I mean, so the air is pure and clean. You can just see forever, forever, mountains in the distance. And these kids come in, and they get healed. So when we are now taking them, now they're at a healthy place. When we take them back to be the hands that are full to give, and they come back to their home, their appreciation level, you know what I mean? It just doubles and triples again, because they just are like, wow. And they get reminded on that regular basis everything that God's done for them. And most importantly, it makes them dream bigger, because they say, I need to finish my education. I need to go to school. I need to do something with my life. They have new motivation to become something and do something and fulfill a dream, because they want to have more to give. And anyway, it's a beautiful, their testimony. So thank you, and a round of applause for you guys, because you've been really faithful, faithful givers to the orphanage. So thank you from Casa Angelina. I brought two books up here, and there was two more, so now I've got four books. But this is, I just wanted to briefly tell you, because I'm actually here in person, about the book First Love Prayers. I don't know, some of you I think already have it, and those of you, if you don't have it, I would suggest that you get it, because it blessed me so much. And yes, this is my name on the bottom of the book, but really every time I look at it, I feel like it shouldn't be my name, because it's something that God gave to me, and all I'm doing is giving it to you in a form that I can. And this book came to me over 10 years ago. God's just started to just change my whole relationship with him, basically, and take me from talking to him and loving him to understanding him on a different level. Because by understanding him more, we understand who we are, because we're created in his image. So if we don't really understand him, we will never understand any part of ourselves. We have to get that relationship and we have to get that understanding, and that comes by revelation of the Holy Spirit. So he started giving me prayers, and he would tell me, write them down. I'd write them down, and then I'd reread it, and I would realize this wasn't me telling him how much I love him and all the things he's done for me, but rather him telling me all about myself. And it really started to change me. And at the time, I was just dating my husband, Andrew, and we were in Bible college in Australia. And I was very nervous at first to share them with anyone because this is very personal to me. This is, you know, God told me something, and now if I show it to somebody else. But I did, and it really started to bless him and his prayer walk. And that was the first time I thought, wow, maybe this is for other people and not just me. And then many years down the track, 52 prayers later, and many beautiful experiences with the Lord later, and really anointed times of him and I together, he gave me this book. And so it is 52 prayers with scriptures and journal pages for you to hopefully write your own prayers and notes and things God will tell you. And the reason that I suggest that you get it is just because it's totally changed the way that I see him. And I just want that for everybody. And it doesn't have an age limit. Your relationship with the Lord doesn't have an age limit. There's not a male or a female. It's for everybody. I know that your pastors really believe strongly in prayer and really believe strongly in the power of talking to God and knowing him. And so I would just, you know, and this is a pearl for me, and they have polished it and shown it and displayed it and, you know, been very awesome and loved me a lot in their loving of this and being blessed by it. And so I just hope that if you haven't gotten it already, that you would please get it, or, you know, give it away as a gift, or sleep with it under your pillow, or, you know, any of the things that, you know, that's what my mom had me do all growing up. Right before a test, I put all my notes under my pillow and sleep on it, and somehow you get a better grade in the morning. And the truth is, I don't know if it didn't work because I always did it. So I'm doing it now, too. It's generational now. Everyone's sleeping with bundles of, you know, books, and you just work with sore neck in the morning. But besides that, it's a little bit true. Okay, if I can ask you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 5. What is this? I like that. Get your Bibles out. I like that. Woohoo! That's so funny. When I was getting ready this morning, I was thinking, oh, I miss my kids and church this morning at the orphanage because they scream at me like that. And I really love it. And so that was a little like, what is this? Where am I? That's awesome. So get your Bibles out. Woo! That's really tempting to do it over and over again. Just to kind of just keep doing that. Woo! Okay. Okay. This morning, I'm only sharing with you briefly, but I really have something the Lord put on my heart to share with you, and it is this, that each one of us is in a battle for certain things in our life, and one of those things that right now, today, you're in a battle for is your purpose. The enemy, you have an enemy, just like soldiers in a war, there's an enemy, and he is out to rob you and take from you your purpose. And if he can steal your name, he can steal your purpose. If you don't know who you are, and if you don't know what you're called, then your potential is lost. For example, there are some names, for example, other people give you, and some names we give ourselves. In life, other people can give you a name, like if you've been ever rejected, that's a name you take on, and you remember it, and you think about it. Sometimes they give you names like, you're really slow. Oh, you're so stubborn. You'll never stop. You're totally foolish. You have no wisdom. You have no discernment. You'll never understand this. You're not intelligent. You can never do very much. You can never accomplish something big. That dream, you're never going to do that. If you shoot for that, you'll get right about here. But sure, go ahead. All of our life, unfortunately, from many different sources, we have people all the time putting little words and saying little things over us. And a lot of time, those names become our identity, and we think, oh, we think of something, or we have a dream, or we have a God moment, or we read a verse, and we say, yeah, that's awesome for somebody. But remember, I'm not worthy. I've done all this. This all happened to me. That took me out of the race a long time ago. I could never do that. And we remember things that people said about us. You're weak. You're defeated. You'll never amount to much. Look what your father did. Look what your mother did. Who are you to think you could ever be anything more? And these names start attaching themselves to us. But it's a design of your enemy in this battle to steal your purpose. Because if he steals your name, then he's stolen your destiny. Because the Bible says in Psalm 139 that God actually, before you were even formed in your womb, he wrote all the days of your life in a book in heaven. He wrote every single day of your life in a book in heaven. And in that book, it never said, Carl, really weak, totally rejected, a loner, shy, a wanderer, a victim, the ugly duckling. Oh, Susie, never be really much, just one in a crowd. That's not the way that God writes about us, is it? And yet, all those names we hear all our life, and subtly they begin to change what we think our potential is. And suddenly they begin to alter the experiences of our future. We begin to think, wow, well, this happened, this happened, this happened, and experiences and the words of other people start to change our life. I see it on a daily basis with the 70 kids I live with, on a daily basis, because everyone in their life said, you're not worthy and you're not good enough for me to even feed you. You're not good enough for me to even give you a bed. You're not good enough for me to even clothe you. I won't even think about you. I will abandon you. And when they come, they carry this weight of all the names of all the people that have been in their life and all the things that they've been called. And they come to us just broken and weak. And they come to us just saying, who am I? This is all the things I've ever been told. And then we start saying, this is who you are, and this is what God says, and this is your new name. And we have to start changing it. But the thing is, it's not only other people that give us bad names, it's ourselves. Because who knows us better than ourselves, right? You know all your failings. You know all the ways you've messed up. You know the truth. Those real thoughts you think about those people when you see them, you know those things. Nobody else even needs to know them, but you know them. And so we name ourselves as well. Oh, well, I'm a cynic. I'm a critic. I'm alone. I'm a nomad. I just need to be by myself somewhere. Because we know ourselves, right? We think we know ourselves better than anybody else. And therefore, we end up labeling ourselves. And really, we forget there's an enemy who's out there to deceive us. To steal our name and to steal your purpose. Because, you know, if you're the last one picked for a team, what does that tell you? You're not very good, right? What if you were the best player and had the most potential? If you're the last one picked, it's like everybody's saying, you're not very good and we already know it. So you don't go in the game thinking, I'm the best, I'm the awesomest. The first person picked feels that way. And they could be horrible, but if they were picked first, it's like they have the support of all these people around them. And they're ready to go, and they're ready to win, and they're ready to do it. But unfortunately, if you're the last one picked, even if all night long you'd been dreaming of the most amazing game and the most amazing thing, and then you're the last one, it's just, you're just deflated poof, instantly. And it's like all that potential and all those dreams and all that possibility just robbed, just like that. Because we allow a lot of voices to speak into our life. And many times we forget the number one voice. We forget the loudest voice. The one who said, when you were still unformed, I wrote all your days in a book. That voice. The one who said in Ephesians 2:10, he says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, living the good life that he made for us. Living the good life he made for us, living the purpose God made for us, doesn't sound like it includes the ugly duckling, the victim, the loner, the wanderer, the confused, the terrified. Those names aren't the names he wrote in that book for you when you were made. Those names are not what he put down. And unfortunately, if we don't have somebody reaffirming us, and many people don't in their life have a person of that reaffirmation and telling you you're awesome, we have a lot of voices that steal and rob and put different names on us. And those names, right here, loner, critic, abused, left, abandoned, orphan, and it's like chains. Chains and chains and chains and chains. And our future and our purpose and this incredible elaborate plan that God had when he made you and you were just this tiny little speck and he was making you and you were beginning to grow, that purpose starts to be taken from in our minds. And we limit ourselves because of all these names and all these chains, and they limit us and limit and limit. That sounds like an attack of an enemy, doesn't it? Because the word also calls us many, many, many things. Many things. And I feel like I could keep going and going. And I'm going to just go to Luke 5. Are we in Luke 5? Did you open your Bibles or get them out or whatever the saying is? I forgot. No. Get out your Bibles, Luke 5. I just want to hear the shout again. Okay, Luke 5. We're going to talk about this because Simon Peter here has an awesome, awesome, awesome encounter with the Lord here. And in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1, Jesus is being pressed all over by people. There's so many people. There's so many things going on. He needs to get in a boat, push out from the lake, and preach from there in the boat. And we start reading here. Let's see. Bum, bum, bum. Verse 4. When Jesus had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." He knew the facts, right? He knew the facts. He'd already been there. He'd already seen it. He was a fisherman. He had his own names. He was experienced. This is probably generational for him. This is what he does. This is what he knows, right? The facts. And he says, "But nevertheless," there's a lot of power in the word nevertheless when you're listening to God. "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began both to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Once again, Simon, he knows his name. When he says, "I'm a sinner, I'm a worrier, I'm a doubter, I did it because you told me to," but when it actually happened, it says he was struck with such terror that he fell down at Jesus' feet like, oh my goodness, because, you know, Jesus exposes you just like that. You know, when you're in front of Jesus and you see a miracle or you see something happen and you have an answer, you pray for something and then it happens and you just go, "Huh, when I prayed, I thought I believed, but then when it really happened, I really realized I wasn't believing at all. And I'm just in shock and feel totally at your mercy that that even came to pass." And that's what's happening to Simon. He's saying he sees Jesus and his whole life is exposed just like that. And he says, "Oh my goodness, I'm a sinner. I can't do anything without you. I thought I was obeying you, and yet I was filled with doubt. I was a worrier. I thought I knew everything. I thought I knew those fish. I knew the time of day. It's not a fishing time. I knew it was already out there. I've already been there." And yet Jesus says, "Do this." He does it. And then this is the part that I love. Verse 10, Jesus says to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Immediately, this is the power of Jesus, and this is what I want to say. If you want to change your name, Jesus can rename you. This is exactly what he does to Simon. He says, "Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Let all that stuff, all those experiences, all that past, all those things that happened to you, and just leave it beside you. I will give you a new name. I will call you my son. I will call you my daughter. I will say that you're worthy. I will say you can enter." Right here, he chooses Simon. He says, "Now you're chosen. Now you're a disciple." He instantly gives him purpose. "Now you will be a fisher of men. Now you will change lives. Now you will save people." This wasn't something Simon had ever seen for himself. Yet when Jesus comes, he has this transforming power to take all those things, all those names that people gave you, all those names of what you named yourself and all those experiences, and he takes them and he gives you something else completely. I mean, one sentence, Jesus just says one sentence, Simon feels so much purpose, so much purpose, so many answers to the questions that he has, that in the next verse, they bring the boats in, he forsakes all and follows Jesus. He forsakes all and follows Jesus instantly. That's the power that Jesus has. That's the power that he has to completely transform our lives. And today, I do believe that you are here for a reason. And I do believe that you're going to receive something this morning. And I do believe there's a purpose behind it, that you live in Utopia or live in the surrounding areas, that you come to Living Waters. I believe that there's a purpose in that. And I believe that by you being here, you're willing and you're open. And I just want to ask you a favor today, and I want to ask you to close your eyes, and I want to pray for you before we start with Brother Ivan this morning, because I want your level of expectancy to be really high today, really high. And if you don't mind, I'd like you to raise your hands if you can, and I'm going to lay hands on a couple of you just while I pray, because I like to walk around while I pray. And I just pray in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for your power. I thank you, Lord, for the faith of the people that are here. I ask you, Father, to just reach down and touch them. I ask you, Lord, to give them the answers they're seeking for. I pray, Father, that you fill their heart in a new way. I pray that you give them a new level of understanding. Break down the chains that are on everybody here, the names of the past, I pray in Jesus' name. I pray, Father God, that you would reveal to them, take the blinders off their eyes, take the plugs out of their ears in the name of Jesus, that they can hear the truth and receive it with a willing heart. I pray that the seeds that are sown today will fall on good soil in the name of Jesus, that they will reap a harvest of fruit in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that every person will extend their faith, Lord, in the name of Jesus, towards the message today that is preached, that they will receive power from on high, healing in their bodies, revelation, understanding, wisdom, freedom, liberty, that they will know that they are the salt, that they will know that they are heirs of a promise, that they will know that they have a future and a calling, that they will know that they are not orphans any longer, that they will know that they are received and accepted, that they will know, Father God, that by the power of the name of Jesus, all things are possible, and there is nothing that is impossible with you. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to gather together in freedom. How blessed are we that we get to gather together, that we get to receive from your word, a living word, a powerful word that will change our lives and change us for generations to come. Thank you for those children who brought that offering. Generations, Father, will praise your name. Generations will lift up your name. But we will not be a silent generation and leave it to our children to do something great. I pray that every man and woman that can hear my voice today, I speak against the lies in their mind in the name of Jesus to withhold them from their destiny. I speak against those words. I speak against the curses that have been spoken over them, the limiting words, the limiting experiences. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of the enemy that has tried to steal their purpose and their destiny. They will know their name. They will know they are chosen. They will know that they are destined for greatness. And they will do things they never thought possible, no matter their age. In the name of Jesus, you do not despise the young or the old. The young David, the old Abraham, you don't despise either. You use everyone. And I thank you, Lord, for that purpose. In the name of Jesus, we give you the service. Amen. Thank you, Pop. Come on up. Oh, you don't need that?
Yeah. Great job, great job. Praise the Lord. Would you all stand for a moment and extend your hands to Pastor Robert, Ms. Laura, right now, if you would? You know, all through the country and around the world, the devil always tries to undermine the people God puts in our life to feed us, to encourage us, to change our name, to give us our purpose, to define God, to do all of those things. And he always tries to undermine the important people of our life, whether it be your husband, your wife, your preachers, anybody. That's his job. He wants to diminish the voices that are sacred in our lives so that we are a voiceless person with no guidance. So he'll attack your pastor in your mind. He'll attack his wife, his family. He will attack your husband. He will attack your wife. He will attack those sacred voices God has put in your life that have within them the power to actually change your name, change your purpose, change your destiny. And of course, his goal is for us to hate the voices that God has placed in our life that can actually save us from the destructions that Satan has ahead. Praise the Lord. And so I've asked this of you before, and that's to pray every day for your pastor and his family, 60 seconds a day. Do the same for your wife, husband, children, and all those sacred voices. But let's do that now. Lord, thank you for this year and for Pastor Robert and Ms. Laura. We bless them and lift off of them any assignments of Satan from any verbal curses or any rejections or any lack in any way. We ask you to heal their family every day, God, for the rest of their lives. We ask you to bless their children. We ask you to keep their children healthy and prosperous and blessed. We declare that 2012 will be the best year for Robert's family and Robert's children. We declare, God, that he deserves and Laura deserves the protection and love of the people of the church. So we just protect them with prayer. We love them with loyalty. And we bless them in the name of Jesus that they will be healthy. That this 2012 will be the healthiest year of their family, their body, their spiritual life, their walk with you, and all of their children and grandchildren. Do the impossible for everybody, God, in this church. Heal this church completely. Let 2012 be the years of increase and miracles and breakthrough and abundance and answered prayer and all those things that have been held up, waiting, tied up. Release them, God, and let them all come like a boat that's out there carrying everything that our dreams contain. Let every home and every family of every person in this building and all around this area for 50 miles in every direction, God, heal, save, and deliver and bless. And would you change the name of Utopia in the Spirit? Change the names of the men of God and the women of God. Let a new reputation arise in this region, that this is a land that flows with milk and honey, that this is a land, God, with green pastures and with living waters, in the name of Jesus. Everybody agreed and said amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. You know, God is really doing pretty amazing things in everybody's life. And I'm not going to keep you much longer, but I do want to just encourage you this morning that, you know, whether we believe it or not, the best is still yet to come. Praise God. The best is still yet to come for you, your family, and your life. Be a good person. You know what I'm saying? Don't do anything you have to repent for or apologize for. Just be a good person. You know, when you know, man, I'm going to have to repent for that, just don't do it. When you know, boy, I'm going to have to apologize, don't do it. Just be a nice person. Can you be a nice person in 2012? How many of you can just be nice and have somebody just say, you know, you're very nice. I really like being around you. Jesus said, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And that's how you know somebody's close to God, is you're never afraid that they have the meanness to hurt you. I think that's a beautiful virtue to have as a human being, is the lack of intimidation that people feel from you when they just know, you know, this person simply has nothing mean on the inside of them. Praise God. I just think that's beautiful. And that's the way I want to be. And, you know, I just really appreciate that, Bethany. That was awesome. And you're such a good preacher. My gosh. That was great. I'm serious, man. I'm edified. I was crying. I'm edified. I'm built up. You're awesome, man. Praise God. I'm sure glad I took you in when we found you there in that alley that one. But anyway, Here's our new book, if you're interested, Letters from God. And basically, if God wrote you a letter every day for a year, what would he say? And you can go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Nobles or Kindle and just download it, or you can order it and they'll send it to you. It's basically God writing you a letter every day for a year. And they're very, very powerful. So praise the Lord. Get that, and that'll really bless you. If you can go to John 15, I'm not going to keep you much longer. I just want to share with you a little bit more to add to what Bethany said this morning. Then again, tonight we'll be here. Kimberly will be ministering, and Bethany, and we're just going to flow, and God's going to do a lot of stuff tonight. But three lives that you can live, you know, the spiritual life, the carnal life, and the demonic life. Christians, everybody that's smart wants to be happy. And everybody that's smart wants to be blessed. And everybody that's wise wants to be loved. You know, there's just no benefit in not being a loved person. We wither like a grape, you know, on the vine when we do not have a constant, continual flow of love into our lives. You know, we're not mean by accident. We're not hard-hearted by accident. We're not arrogant or vain or selfish or self-centered or greedy by accident. It all comes from being around people like that. And so God tries to constantly position us where he can intervene and actually transform us and to make us people that can be a blessing to other people. Praise the Lord. So there's three lives you can live. You have the carnal life, and you can find that all through the Bible. Samson was carnal. He was a minister, but he was carnal. And he disobeyed God, and he did everything his flesh wanted him to do. He chased women, he was alcoholic and all of those kind of things, and he just did all the wrong things all the time because he was driven by the appetites of his twisted desires. And that's what a carnal Christian is. It's a person who knows the right things but lives the wrong things. A demonic Christian is a person who actually is being used by the devil to damage the people of God, the kingdom of God, the church, and anybody who's serving God. And none of us want to be like that. We don't ever want to be used to hurt people, damage people, attack people, or do things that only the devil does. That's not the life we want. But the life we want is the spiritual life where we can really be blessed. How many of you do want that? Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to believe that there is an abundant life and it can be experienced. That it's not just a dream. Not an idea only, not a theory, not a concept, but it's an actual substance that can be possessed by people of faith and people that love God and have a relationship with him. All of us have been in church. I've been in church all my life, you know, raised in church. And then I encountered God at 17 and was converted and truly began a relationship with God that changed my future. And now I've been doing it for 40 years as a preacher and with my wife, Kimberly, and then all of our children as well, which is what an inheritance to have, to sit and listen to your children really do well in their life and love God and be free and know that it's just the mercy and grace and wonderful love of God. Praise the Lord. And I know all of you are going to have the very same thing if you don't have it right now, because it is God's will for you and your children to all love each other and be blessed and happy. Praise the Lord. And I love that message, Bethany. That was awesome, man. That was awesome. My gosh. And so when we talk about the spiritual life, which is what I'm going to only talk to you about one aspect of it. I have around 30, but I'm only going to talk to you about one. Because a lot of people don't even know what that is, you know, the spiritual life. But everybody wants to be blessed. We come to church because we know God has something we don't have. And God can do things we can't do. And God can change things we cannot change. And God has power that we as natural people do not possess. If we did, we wouldn't need God. We would be God. And so there's a big difference. We come to God, if we're smart, out of desperation and out of dependency and need to know that our God is an awesome God and nothing is too difficult for him. Praise the Lord. Wherever you are today, whatever you've been through, whoever has hurt you, however they have wounded you, however they have twisted you, however they have made you hard or angry or mean or vengeful, whatever ugliness has come into your life, God's love washes that away if you know how to access God. And I think that is a big question for a lot of Christians, is we believe in God, but we don't know how to access God. And it's like having $1 million in your bank, but forgetting your bank account number. And you know, you're stuck in a desert, but there's an ATM there, but you can't get your money. And it's like that for a lot of Christians. You know, they believe in love, joy, peace, but they can't get it. And so we're not like that. We don't believe in that. We believe you can get what God promises. Praise the Lord. You can have what God says you can have. Praise the Lord. So in talking about the spiritual life, in John 15, verse 1, abide with me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me and I in the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let me just kind of go over it a little bit. The spiritual life, remember, you can be carnal and you can have a lot of disaster when you have a carnal life. And a lot of negatives can happen. And this is what I've seen happen to people who have a carnal life as a Christian. And that is that they experience the opposite of what God promises in the Bible. And because of that, they misinterpret God and they misinterpret the Bible and they misinterpret what God can do and who God is. Once you think badly of God, you're no longer going to run to God. Once you no longer believe God can do what he says or will do it, you'll no longer pray. And once you believe that God cannot change your circumstances and that you're stuck with whatever you have, you will no longer have faith in God. The beautiful thing about God, for those of us that experience what I'm talking about, is that anything is possible. Any disease can be healed. Any circumstance can be changed. And any life can be restored. You are not stuck with the life you've been handed. Praise the Lord. And I think Bethany said it so perfectly. Let God rename you. Praise the Lord. I think that is awesome. That's a really message of hope. And so what I'm going to do is give you a little bit. The spiritual life is a life of forgiving and forgetting. It's a life of loving and also a life of hating. You have to know what to love and what to hate. Your love is not complete till it contains within it true hate for evil and all things that hurt people. Because you and I do not change what we love, we change what we hate. If you hate what hurts people, you will stop hurting people. Praise the Lord. So the spiritual life is a life of loving and hating. The spiritual life is a life of intimacies and discoveries. Praise the Lord. It's a life of connections and disconnections. You have to know who to be connected to and who to be disconnected from. Some people are dangerous, so they'll steal from you. Other people are a blessing, so they'll add to you. And you've got to be able to identify who heals you and who makes you sick. Praise the Lord. This is the spiritual life. It's a life of discerning. It's a life of wisdom and understandings. It's a life of many amazing and wonderful things. It's a life of deaths and resurrections. Isn't that true? And so it's full of those kind of things. And like I said, I've got a lot of that. But I'm just going to concentrate on one thing this morning for a little while. Just one aspect of the spiritual life, which I think can really help you for 2012. And that is that the spiritual life is a life of deposits and withdrawals. Praise the Lord. Shake somebody's hand and say, you need to deposit something in my pocket right now. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and tell them. We read there in John 15 about abiding in the vine. And if you abide in the vine, you bear a lot of fruit and a lot of amazing things begin to happen. If you don't abide in the vine, then a lot of negative things begin to happen. But let me say it a different way, deposits and withdrawals. Can I ask you a question? How many of you know what happens when you write a check on an empty bank account? Huh? How many of you have done that? How many have written a check and it bounced? I had a check written to me for $270,000 at a church for an offering. I was only momentarily excited because I had had a previous experience with these kind of things. And so I said to the pastor, do you know these people? Yes. I said, are they on drugs? Are they crazy? Would they do something like this? They said, oh, no. These are these kind of people. They wouldn't do anything like that. And I said, really? Do you think they just wrote me a check? He said, I can't imagine that they wouldn't. Of course. And I said, well, I'm just not going to get excited yet. And sure enough, the check was deposited and it went to the moon. I mean, it just, it just rose way out there. My heart wasn't broken because I wasn't, in a position of expectancy. I was just there and seen. But they meant well, they said. When he called them, he said, well, we did it by faith. We thought a miracle would happen and, bingo. But it didn't take place. Praise the Lord. But you know that if you're going to have the life God wants you to have, if you're going to have a spiritual life, you have to make deposits into your spiritual bank account that you have something to withdraw when life demands a payment from you. Praise the Lord. Let me say it a different way. How many of you ever get offended? Do you know what that is? That's somebody writing a check on your account. And God is looking for you to make a payment. And when you get offended, it's because you have nothing in your account to pay with. Your account is void of love. So when somebody says, I need ridiculous forgiveness right now because I'm going to be very rude to you and very mean to you and I'm going to treat you really bad, and you say, I don't have it, so you cuss them out, which is burning your entire bank account. Your checks are bouncing all over the place. Praise the Lord. Have you ever needed to be patient? How many of you have ever just needed to be patient and trust God, but you just couldn't do it? And it didn't happen as fast as you wanted it to happen, so because your bank account was empty, you started complaining. Because complaining is the sign of an empty bank account. Praise the Lord. Because what God needed you to do is thank Him and praise Him by faith while you were in the midst of the testing of your faith. But because your bank account was empty, you just said, God never does nothing. Nobody does. They're all a bunch of lying, stink. I'm killing everybody. I'm murdering the whole thing. And don't misunderstand me. I've done it all. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to be spiritual and have a spiritual life that God can bless, you have to have time to put stuff in your bank account. Spiritual wealth must be deposited into your bank account. Praise God. Because people come by who are not only asking for what's in your bank account, they're demanding it. Praise God. Life may demand it of you. Because sometimes your miracles are the result of an outrageous manifestation of faith and trust in God. Once you trust God ridiculously and unconditionally, here comes the harvests and the blessings. But if you haven't been depositing anything into your bank account, then you're poor when life demands a check. And how many of you already know what I'm talking about without me having to go too far into detail? Praise the Lord. So has anyone bounced checks other than me? And I'm talking in the spirit. Have you ever said, I can't do this anymore? That's an empty bank account talking. I can't handle this anymore. That's an empty bank account talking. I'm murdering everybody. That's an empty bank account. Praise the Lord. I've committed entire slaughters of cities. You understand? Because you just get all really upset and angry and offended and all, and you, you know, in your imagination. And but when your account is full, you know, the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We are always moved when we watch somebody act like Jesus, where we know we would act like the devil. They become our heroes because they do the opposite of what we know we would do in that situation. It is shocking how some people are so full of Jesus that they respond so Christ-like in a situation that many of us would really commit a crime because of that. Praise the Lord. But it isn't because they're better than you are. It's because their bank account is not empty. They have Jesus in the bank account. They have love in there, joy in there, peace in there, forgiveness in there, goodness in there, faith in there, trust in there, confidence in there, purpose in there. They have all that they need of Jesus in their life because they've learned how to make deposits. That's really what I want to talk to you about today. How do you make deposits into your account? So when your husband is ready to drive you crazy and you're ready to lose your mind, you will have enough of Jesus to where he no longer can empty your account. Because the results of an empty bank account are that you are burned out completely. You have nothing left to give anybody because your bank account is empty. Praise the Lord. And selfishness is the number one sign of an empty bank account. It's when we get inconvenienced and get mad. A person with Jesus in their bank account can be inconvenienced and have a good attitude about it. They can sacrifice with joy instead of sacrificing and griping the entire time. Praise the Lord. It looks like I'm by myself here this morning in the service. So I'll just go talk to myself. Way to go. Fantastic, Ivan. Praise the Lord. Teach us how to. Praise God. So if you put nothing in, you can draw nothing out. Praise God. Look at two people and say, what's in your bank account? Whatever you feed grows and whatever you starve dies. And remember, if you write a bad check, and if you write enough bad checks, two very crazy things happen. The jailers come after you. Praise the Lord. And in the Bible, those jailers are called the tormentors, which is guilt and shame. It comes to your mind and it tells you you're such a bad person. You did such a bad thing. You don't even know Jesus. You don't even do this. Because the tormentors start coming at you. Because you know what's right and wrong, and you want to do it, but you can't do it. And so you're filled with the guilt and shame that life brings all of us when we don't do what we're supposed to do for God. Praise the Lord. And so this morning, what we want to do is not be tormented and not go to jail and not spend our time in spiritual jail tormented. We want to walk with God in a way where we are strong, because your strengths determine your destinations. And if you're strong in God, because life is a marathon, it is not a sprint. And so when you're walking, you want to be strong to finish the race, not just to run a sprint. It's not like, oh, I forgave him once, but the last nine times, I've been trying to get even. Right? Is anybody humble enough to love God enough to be honest enough to say, I need to learn how to make deposits? Does anybody want to be stronger tomorrow than you are today? And you know, Bethany said it great, and it's really, Pastor Robert said it really in a great way, and that's God doesn't want to beat you. He doesn't want to condemn you. He doesn't want to attack you. He doesn't want to find fault with you. He doesn't want to make you feel guilty or ashamed. It's never about that. God wants us to be happy, and in order to be happy, he has to change what is making us unhappy. Praise the Lord. And that is the power of truth, God's truth. Anything you embrace that's true will set you free. Praise the Lord. Hug two people right now and say, I don't know if that's your original hair color, but you had it the last time, and it's really beautiful. I've never seen anything so well put together. All right, so if you've ever had somebody call you and say, when are you going to pay? And you say, well, I don't know. And if any of you have ever gotten in trouble for doing that, it's no different in the spiritual life. It's no different at all. We are trying to actually please God without the resources. And God wants to give us the resources so we can do what God actually has called us to do. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God and the daughters of God, the resources. Praise the Lord. I don't want to fall short all the time in forgiving people. I want to just have forgiveness in me because Jesus is filling me up. Praise the Lord. And I don't want to be always poor in areas of my life. I want to have the wealth of God. I want to have the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, the wisdom of God, the discernment of God. I want to have something to withdraw from the account that's inside of me. Praise God. That way we don't end up in jail, spiritual or natural. Praise God. We don't end up doing crazy things that people without Jesus would do, but that people with Jesus are actually not supposed to do. Praise the Lord. We don't want to have a reputation as a lost person and just have the title of a Christian. Praise the Lord. Am I by myself in the building? All right, so let's talk about this for a little bit. And everybody goes through these things in our life where, you know, we realize, I just can't love that person. I cannot be a blessing to that person. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. And so God comes into our life, and he begins to show us how. And I think the most important thing you can do is to learn how to deposit Jesus into your own life. Praise God. Because that's really what's going to make all the difference in your life. And so let's just look at a couple of things. Jesus would go and pray all the time. And it says that, you know, he was always followed by the crowds. That's a big demand. You have a gift. Everybody wants what you have. And they went after Jesus by the thousands. We're talking 5,000, 10,000 people at a time. We're talking 24 hours around the clock. We're talking people waking him up while he was sleeping. We're talking people at his door day and night all the time. And this is what it said. Often he would go away by himself and pray for long periods of time. And if you study the prayer life of Jesus, you'll find out that most of the time he prayed for at least 9 hours at a time. That's 9 hours of making deposits into his account. Praise the Lord. Although it's a little bit different with Jesus in that he is the account. And he is the deposit. You know, but he still laid the pattern for me and you. If you're not going to spend time with God, then your bank account is going to be empty of God. So you need to spend time with God, and not just any kind of time. How many of you know there's a difference between practicing the wrong way and practicing the right way? If a man learns how to practice something the right way, he will become an expert at that. If he practices for hours the wrong thing, the wrong way, then he will fail even though he spent hours doing it, but he spent hours doing it the wrong way. Right? So it's not just praying, it's learning how to pray the right way. I can't tell you that today. Somebody else has to tell you, but there it is. Praise the Lord. If it's working for you, you're doing it right. If it's not working for you, you need to learn how to do it better. Praise the Lord. And the second thing, you'll find this in Exodus 25:22. It says, and there I will meet with you, and I will commune with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give you in commandment unto the children of Israel. If you do not give time for God to make you strong in all areas, reading the word, going to church, getting around people who have strength that you don't have, wisdom you don't have, power you don't have, understanding you don't have, if you don't get around people who can make you strong, then you will be weakened by the people you are around. Your friends either take you to God or they take you away from God, unless you're mature enough to be able to be in the midst of anybody and not be converted to their way of life. Praise the Lord. But it says, I'll commune with you. And this is one of the secrets of becoming and filling up your life with God and never having an empty spiritual bank account. And that is communion. And communion is different than knowing somebody. I know Jesus because I've read about him. I've read the Bible. I've read books about him and all of those things. I have the knowledge of who God is based on the information that I've digested. But until I commune with God, I am not fused with God. And this is the powerfulness that when you sit next to a person or even married to an individual, you can be married to him for 30 years but never commune with that person. Communion is when their insides and your insides become one. And you actually know that person and they know you. This changes your DNA towards that person. And this is the power of walking with God. If you're going to enrich and deposit into your account the things of God, then you're going to have to learn how to commune with God. And this is really, really a powerful thing. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I think that's pretty powerful. Look at somebody right now and say, yep. In John 4, Jesus was at the well, and he told the woman at the well, if you had asked me, I would have given you water that would take your thirst away. And then the disciple said, have you even eaten? He said, no. He said, I have food that you don't even know about. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I have something you don't have. I've found a source of strength that gives me the power to live in the will of God without burning up my soul or spirit. Praise the Lord. Give somebody a high five and say, if you'll pay me $10, I'll believe whatever he's saying. Praise God. So, depositing into your account is a matter of watering your brain with the Word of God. And this is something I have found. It's not just reading the Bible. It's reading the Bible in a way that brings revelation out of the Bible and actually feeds you and makes you strong. One revelation from God can give you strength for an entire lifetime. God's speaking to you something personal out of the Word that is a word from God for you, can keep you going for years and years and years and years. Praise the Lord. It's not just saying, I read my chapter today. It's saying, I met with God while I read the Word, and he spoke to me from the Word, and what he said has changed who I am. That is what fills your bank account. Praise the Lord. It's really important. Prayer of every kind and praise. How many of you can praise God? Lift your hand and hands up, and I want you to praise God right now for anything he did to you, for you in 2011. Just lift your hand. Say, God, thank you, Lord, for saving me, healing me, paying my bills. Thank you for using me. Thank you for all the things you've done. Thank you that I live in a great house. Thank you that I have a great family. Thank you that I have a great future, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's what it's all about, filling yourself with the Spirit of God. Praise and thanksgiving and gratitude fill you up with God. Praise the Lord. And that's why people who sing a lot don't cry a lot. Praise the Lord. And that's why it's important to praise the Lord and be thankful and worship God, because it fills your home. It fills everybody around you. This is why we like to be around certain people. I love being around certain people because when I'm with them, they lift me up. They do not tear me down. Because I know they have a source of strength and joy and peace because they have made a deposit into their account. Praise the Lord. And it's great to be around happy people and joyful people. It doesn't mean you have to fake it. It means you have to learn how to make the deposit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Never, never defend your vice because it becomes the door of your attack. Betray your vice and say, no, I'm not going to defend you. I'm going to betray you by getting rid of you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at somebody and say, the best is yet to come. Tell the person behind you, you can make my day better. Just pay me something. $10. Praise the Lord. You know what fills your bank account is faith talking. Pastor Robert did it when he got up here. Bethany did it when she preached. Faith talking. What is it? It's declaring the will of God for your life. It's denying what the devil is telling your mind is going to happen and declaring that what God says about you in His Word is going to happen and what He has determined to be true is what's going to manifest. Let's do it a little bit right now. Look at somebody and say, my bank account will be full. All my bills will be paid. Somebody's paying my house off. My body will be totally healed. In 2012, I will have no debts. All the doors will open. I'll be blessed going in. I'll be blessed coming out. My marriage will be anointed. My children will walk with God. Everybody that hates me will love me, whether they like it or not. I'll be clothed in the favor of God. I'll sing and dance, going in and coming out. My house will be filled with treasure. I'll become a mighty man or woman of God. I am everybody's divine appointment. I'll lay hands on the sick. They'll get healed. I'll give more than I've ever given, because I'll have more than I've ever had. I will encourage people. No depression, no suicide, no murder, joy, peace, love, faith. I'm going to be sweet. I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be kind. I will not be lazy or slothful. All the curses have been broken, and I am a free person in Jesus Christ. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. We're faith talking. Come on. Woo! Things are about to get better for me. Say it. Things are about to get better for me. Say it. Somebody is going to give me $100 today. Tell that to somebody around you. Say, somebody is going to give me $100 today. Look at somebody. Somebody's going to buy my lunch. Somebody's paying my car off. All my children are coming back to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. How do you fill your tank? How do you make deposits? Faith talking. Doubt talking robs you. Unbelief is spiritual abortion. So what we want to do is fill our tanks with the will of God, the plan of God, and what God declares about us. Praise the Lord. Wives, look at your husbands and say, in 2012, go ahead, wives, your husband, look at him and say, you'll be the best husband you've ever been in 2012. Go ahead and tell him. Say, you're going to be the best husband you've ever been. Say, you're going to take me to Hawaii. Tell him, you're going to take me to Hawaii and let me spend all the money I want. Look at everybody and say, he's talking faith right now. How do you make deposits? You make deposits by practicing the habit of unloading burdens quickly. How many of you know what it's like to be afraid all of a sudden? Like, oh my gosh, they're going to take my house. Oh my gosh, something. Unloading burdens. This is something you have to learn. It's really, really important. The second something negative comes into your life, you need to know how to battle that thing and get it off you. You don't want to carry it on your shoulder for days, hours, or months. You have to learn how to unload what Satan tries to put on your shoulders. This is what gives you the strength and encouragement to do the will of God. It's not just hype talk. It's faith talk based on substance revelation. You know that this works because it's worked for you before, and it's worked for a lot of people that you know. Praise the Lord. Some of you get discouraged and you carry it for days, or you get offended and you carry it all year long. Remember, the devil sows an offense in order to divide a destiny. Sometimes you get offended at the people that God has actually called you to be in destiny with. And if he can sow an offense between you, you'll separate yourself from your own destiny. And then you deform your destiny because you're not connected to the person who you were supposed to be connected with in order to do the will of God. You don't know who your friends are until they offend you. You don't know who your friends are until you offend them. Once you offend a person, wait and see how they're going to deal with you. Your friends will forgive you and help you see what you did so you don't do it again. Your enemies will walk away from you forever because they have a spirit of divorce on them. And Absalom divorces people. Jesus doesn't divorce. How many of you would have already been abandoned had God treated you like people do? Huh? Turn to two people and say, oh my gosh, what are you talking about? Exactly. Exactly. Praise the Lord. So, unload stuff quickly. Don't carry guilt more than a few seconds. It doesn't help. It's not honorable to feel bad. God doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't want you to punish yourself. He doesn't want you to be miserable. You can't help people when you're unhappy. Unload stuff quick. Forgive yourself. Forgive everybody. Say, praise God. I forgive you. I won't be the slave of those things. I won't be the servant of that. I just unload it all unto God and fill yourself with praise and thanksgiving, and things change. Praise the Lord. Two more things and then I'll be done. Look at two people and say, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Praise the Lord. And just let me give you this, and this is really, really important. And, you know, I'll give you one last thing, this last thing. To really deposit into your account, you have to become a very wise receiver. You have to learn how to receive from people. I was at a church last week, and the pastor was about to die, literally. He could have died at any time. It upset me so much because all that he needed to get fixed was an operation. It was going to cost thousands of dollars. And this is a friend of mine that I love very dearly. And he would never ask the church. He simply won't do it. He will never ask anybody for nothing. He would rather die than ask anybody for anything. So, I'm not him. So I just got up there and I said, look, your pastor's going to die. He won't ask you, so I'm asking you. I need you to give this much money, thousands of dollars, and I need you to give it right now so he can get a surgery on Tuesday and be totally healed. So within about maybe 3 minutes, all the money came in, just like that. Boom. Praise the Lord. So he's getting the surgery this week. It'll save his life. He'll never be sick again. It'll all be over with. Shala, shala, hala, hala. Give somebody something. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, some people think it's a matter of honor not to, but really you need to learn how to receive if you're going to fill your account, because sometimes God uses the people around you to invest into your life. And you have to become a good receiver. I couldn't even build an orphanage if I wasn't able to receive checks from little children and from anybody else who wants to help those orphans. And the story Bethany told about those kids would never have happened had I not been able to receive from Pastor Robert and you guys in this church. Not the thousands, but the hundreds of thousands of dollars that this church right here has invested into the orphanage in Guatemala. There's not one thing in Guatemala that doesn't have the handprint of Living Waters Church. Not one building, not one thing on the ground, not one thing in the air does not have the handprint of this church's love for those children. No building, nothing on the ground, nothing anywhere. You even send me out to preach. You give me the power to do it, and my wife, and all of us that are doing it. Why? Because, and you're not a giant church. You don't have 5,000 people, and I preach in those churches. And this church is the most giving church of any church I go to, have ever gone to, has given more financially and time. I don't have to ever tell Pastor Robert twice. Would you go over here and do this? I'll be there. I'll get the money. I'll do whatever I got to do. And all of you are ready to go. Leave your own jobs. Not get paid that week. Invest $1,000. Invest more than that to go and do that. Your reward will not be forgotten. It will not be slight. It will be great. Praise the Lord. I have to know how to receive. I'm blessed because I know how to receive. Because God told me one day, He says, it's your pride that keeps you from being blessed. I asked God, give me a billionaire, just one, I'll receive from him. God said, you would steal the blessing from all of the people that you know around the world who I have called to be partners with you in rescuing orphans, taking care of widows, feeding the poor, and building the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. So, as I conclude this, let me just say to all of you, in December of this year, the end of the year, that this year for our family and ministry was the greatest year we've ever had. We were given more money. We gave more money. We did more things. We had many thousands of people, probably between 15 and 20,000 people get saved. Healings of all kinds. Miracles of all kinds. Deliverances of all kinds. All my children, one Sunday in the year of August, Kimberly was preaching in Guatemala. I was preaching in Tanzania to a church of 25,000. And there's about 10,000 in this particular meeting. Bethany was preaching in Guatemala. Abby was ministering in Australia. Kendra was preaching in Colorado. Gavin was leading worship in Colorado, all on the same Sunday. That is a blessing from the Lord, and I don't take it lightly. Praise the Lord. And now Kendra, my daughter, is pregnant again, and I'm having another grandson. Praise the Lord. She named the first one Tate, and this one I think she's going to name Ivan. Praise the Lord. She doesn't know anything about it, but praise the Lord. No, that won't happen. But anyway, so make the deposit so you can have what you need to withdraw. Wherever you've been coming short, God has that for you, and He'll give you that. Tonight at 6 o'clock, is that right, Pastor Robert? 6:30, we'll be doing another service. It'll be very powerful. We want to lay hands on everybody and pray for the year 2012 for you and your family. So Kimberly and I and Bethany will be laying hands on everybody tonight for the year to come. Praise the Lord. And you really need that. You need to be launched into that by the anointings of the Holy Ghost and the blessings of God. Would you play that music and close your eyes for just a moment? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, each one of you, as you're sitting there, you have in front of you a bridge. That bridge leads from the life you have lived to the life God wants you to live. It is not a bad thing to realize that you have to make an adjustment. Only humble people can receive the truth and make an adjustment. Proud people get offended and mad. But we are not called to be people who cannot adjust our lives to please God. So wherever you're at right now, look at that bridge and say, I need to cross this bridge. Because where I have been is not where I want to be next year. I want to cross over to the light of the life God has planned for me. And I am humble enough to be honest enough with myself and say, I want to represent Jesus and be Christ-like. I don't want anybody to think I don't love God. So everybody is going to cross that bridge for different reasons right now. Some of you will be repenting for something. Some of you will be adjusting an attitude. Some of you will be changing your entire life. But you must do it alone. Nobody can walk you across. You have to walk across on your own. If you are here this morning and you are not 100% sure that you are going to go to heaven when you die, if you're sitting there and you say, if I died right now, today, I am not 100% sure that I am going to go to heaven. If that's you, and you say, I want the peace of God in my heart about heaven. I want to know every night that I go to bed, by the peace in my heart, that heaven is going to be my home. If you're sitting out there and you say, I don't know that, I want that. All I want you to do, right where you're sitting right now, if you want that peace, is to simply lift your hand high enough for me to see so that I can pray for you and God can give you a miracle of peace. You'll never sleep the same again, and your future will be very bright. And I want you to lift it up without any shame. I see your hands going up everywhere. I see your hands there and there and there and there and there and there. Because Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me in front of people, I'll be ashamed of you in front of God, my Father. So we lift our hands. We stretch them out, and we say, I'm not ashamed that I need a miracle. Praise the Lord. And you're going to get that. I see your hands going up everywhere. And I'm going to pray for you. Now, if you did lift your hand, would you just simply stand right where you're at so I can pray for you right now? Quickly, without hesitating. Just stand right to your feet and let me lead you in a prayer that is going to get you across that bridge to the place where you want to be. Praise the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, can anything happen more wonderful to a person than for them to come in a church without peace? Without eternity in their heart, and leave with the peace of God. What a beautiful thing to receive at any church. We've seen this many thousands of times this year. Praise the Lord. Now, all of you that are standing, whether you're erasing doubts or doing something for the first time, I want you to simply look at me for 1 second. I'm going to pray for you right now. And if you would, I'd like you to just leave your seat and walk right here to the front. Let me lead you in a prayer. I'll let you sit down. I won't embarrass you in any way. But I want to look at you as I pray for you. Some people, you know, they have a lot of doubts. God erases those. Other people encounter God in a way they never have before. And so I want all of you that are out there to extend your hands towards these folks this morning. And I don't think we should hurry through this particular section of what's happening. Praise the Lord. Would you all that are sitting out there do one thing for me? Would you ask the people around you, are you sure you're going to heaven when you die? Would you ask them that? If somebody says, I don't know, would you offer to walk up here with them right now and maybe help them make a great decision for their future. Praise the Lord. And I'll just wait for a second and see if that anybody will do that. Let's all pray together. Those of you that are here, understand these words. Whatever you feel guilty about, God is lifting off of your shoulders. Pastor Robert said it in a beautiful way this morning. God is not here to beat you up. Of course we need to get beat up the way the world looks at things. I do, you do, we all do. Some of us ought to be shot in the head. If the mercy depended on our justice, there would be no people on earth. But God is a merciful God, and He restores lives. And so I'm asking Jesus to restore everybody up here right now. Would you agree with me that that's going to happen? So, Father, everybody that's up here right now, restore them. And let's all say the prayer together. Jesus, save my life from the devil, the world, and myself. I forgive everybody, especially myself. Thank you that you are merciful and loving and forgiving. I receive that forgiveness that washes me clean, that cleanses my thoughts, heals my heart, and gives me a bright future. I believe that best is yet to come. I reject Satan. I reject the devil's plan for my life. And I declare that I am forgiven, that I have another chance to serve God and do the will of God. I rebuke the devil. I destroy every curse and every doubt. I am forgiven. I am going to heaven, and I am not guilty. I am not guilty. I am not guilty. Now I'm going to live for God and serve Him all the days of my life. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, brothers, thank you very much. Would you bless them right now and say to all of them, you're going to heaven and God's blessing is coming on you this year. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Hug the person next to you and say, that was worth at least $10 for this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Pastor Robert is going to come up here in a second. And once again, tonight at 6:30, I want to encourage all of you that let's anoint you with oil. Let's pray over your wife, your husband, your children, your future. Everybody should have an anointing come on you, and the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost will minister for a little bit, flow in the things of the Spirit, and be a blessing to you. Praise God. Thank you, guys. On behalf of my wife, Kimberly, my daughter, Bethany, and myself, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We love you. Here's Pastor Robert.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. Well, ushers, help me. Let's take up our offering this morning. Maybe you're not going to be back here for tonight, and you want to go ahead and give an offering and support Brother Ivan and all the ministry and the work that's going on in Casa Angelina and around the world. So I want you to have an opportunity there. So if you need an offering envelope, lift up your hands. Ushers will get you one. We are going to be here again tonight at 6:30. We'll take up another offering. If you're not prepared to give today and you're going to be here tonight, well, then, you know, we can do it then. But praise Jesus. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited. I want to tell y'all this, that your offerings this morning that are going into this, we're putting everything together. But I've already told Brother Ivan that we're finishing. I said it by faith. I said we're going to finish the roof on the building down there. The metal structure is all up. The group from Pennsylvania did that last week, and we got that taken care of. And it's $11,800 to put the tin on the roof. And I told him $11,800 will be deposited in their account before the first of the year, because I'm finishing that this year. And then in January, we will go down there and put that thing on. Okay? So, y'all in agreement with me on that?
Yes.
Praise God, because we're going to take care of that. So, put your hand over your offering. We're going to pray. Father, right now, just declare in the name of Jesus, Lord, there's nothing in life that excites me more than to see the look on those kids' face, Lord, and to see the smiles and to know that, Lord, that we do have a handprint on the things that are going on down there in those children's lives and what's taking place from it, that they're never going to be abused again. Lord, they're in a place of glory. They're in a place of now they're ministering to others and reaching out. And Lord, it's a privilege and it's an honor. And Lord, it is our life and it's the legacy of the Waterhole here at Living Waters Church to give and to reach out and to bless, Lord. And I just declare it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the people that are giving this morning. We thank you for supernatural finances. I declare we'll give more in 2012 than we've ever even dreamed of giving in the years past, Lord, that miracles, signs, and wonders and things happen in our lives that bring about great resources into us, Lord, to be able to give and to sow. And Lord, we praise you for it. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So go invite somebody. Tell them if they want a blessing, they want to get their 2012 started off good, come to church tonight. You don't want to miss it. Praise God. So you can got plenty of time to go home and eat, take a long nap, show back up. How about the rain? Have we seen it in a year that it ever rained for a whole day here? I don't know how much rain we got, like a half an inch, but I mean, bless God, it was rainy all day long. I haven't seen that in a couple of years. I'll take it. Bless God, I'll take it. So that's exciting. That's a good way to have some change.